Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're clicked. We're clicked in. Clipped in and clicked in.
I cannot tell you how happy I am to see your face.
I know. We failed last time we did this. We said we were going to talk and then we didn't. So now we're talking.
What do you mean?
We were like, we have to talk outside of recording the podcast and then we didn't. Although it was a special week. Tell us where you were.
To be fair, I was away. I took a vacation from all the hard work. I went to Mammoth, California, which is Northeast California. So it's like a 5-hour drive from LA, and was in the mountains for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 5 days. I got back today, Tuesday.
Dang, that's like a true vacation. That's amazing.
It was a true vacation. And it was like I skied for the very first time.
Wow. How was it?
So the day that I learned to ski was like the worst conditions of the whole trip.
Oh, and yeah, you said that's so scary.
It was snowy, really, really snowy, and it was like really hard to see. And I like did ski school, and Hillary, Garrett, and Dylan like went out and skied. Like they're like
right,
all
because they're
skiers.
Old pros, all of them.
So they were like doing the black diamonds, and I like had my like
no
ski
way
school.
Really they're that good. Oh my yeah. God!
And I was like the star of ski school, obviously.
Of course you were.
I love school, and I love to be good at things. So I was like, oh,
this
a
is
teacher
one place
can
that
validate.
We are very yeah. similar.
So I like nailed ski school, and then then we all had lunch. We like met up and had lunch, and then the four of us went. And they like did a green with me, and they were like, "Oh, like you're great." And I was like, "I know." And they were like, "You could come with us." And so I went on a different lift, and I thought we were doing a green, but we were on like a blue, which is the second level, uh-huh. and it was fine, except immediately we just like couldn't see, like couldn't see in front of us, and I was just like. And Hillary was like, I hate this. And I was like, I am terrified yeah. because I would go, you take bigger turns when you're skiing new because if you go slow, like smaller turns, you go faster. And right. I like didn't understand. And so I was like, would start going really fast and I wouldn't know how to stop. And I only fell twice.
Hey, that's
one,
really impressive.
One was like a fun fall and one was like kind of a scary fall for me. Like luckily, like it was snowing. It was like 36 inches of snow.
Jeez.
Like it was
amazing like, no, ski conditions.
6 feet of snow. Sorry.
Oh, good grief.
So like it was all fresh and like falling was like fine and soft. And like I joke, I was like, I fell in love with Garrett on that mountain because he was just like, okay, he's amazing. He's like one turn at a time. And like he coached me. He was like full and he was like fully prepared to like tandem ski with me. And just like, but he was like, do you see Dylan up there? And I was like, no. And like my adrenaline was up and I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And it was because I was like breathing heavy and then I was like my breath was being pushed back at me and I like thought I was gonna cry and I did it and I was so proud of myself.
I'm so proud of you.
And then I didn't ski again.
But like you did
not because I didn't want to, but because like Hillary and I didn't ski the second day, and then yesterday it was like our last day and I was like, if I go to ski with you guys, I would force you to come do the baby slopes with me,
right?
And like I feel bad taking that time away. Or the alternative would be me like skiing by myself.
Right.
And I was like, if I'm going to be alone.
You may as
anyway,
well be cozied
I
up
might
in
as
the
well
ski lodge.
Cozy up in the ski lodge and like do work and drink.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And like I would definitely defo ski again. And I liked it a lot. But I was like, it's expensive. And yeah. I'm glad I
it
did
is.
It.
Oh my God. It's an expensive hobby.
It's so expensive.
I grew up knowing so many skiers and snowboarders because we lived like an hour from the mountains. And my family skied, but only up until I was probably like 6. And I was terrified of it and never got good enough at it that like I didn't ever go with friends. I wish I had. But once when I was learning how, when I was probably 5 or 6, I went up on a ski lift with my dad, and one of my skis was loose and it fell off halfway up the mountain, and I full freaked out. Like, obviously I couldn't even ski down, and he was just gonna like go with me and take it easy, but I lost my mind.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah,
it's like, it's a mount. I mean, I fell in love with mountains. Like, they're mountains are amazing.
The best, right? Right? Because that's, and then I remember you saying before, you like didn't get the mountain thing.
Not even that I didn't get it. I just like didn't, I didn't experience it.
Right.
And it's like, even when I was in Portland in May, like I couldn't see Mount Hood until I was, it was foggy. So I didn't get to see it until I was going to the airport on my way back. And like, but here it, like, that's a crazy thing about California too. I know, there she is, Mount Hood right there.
Right behind me.
California is crazy because like you go from the desert into like the snow.
Yeah.
And like the second day, like the sun came out and the clouds cleared and you could like see it. I have so many photos. I'll send you some of them.
Please do.
It was just like stunning. It looked like cardboard. Like it looked fake.
Yeah. I love those landscapes so much. That's the stuff that my heart starts to like ache for when I like don't leave the city for, I don't know, more than 3 months, where my body's just like, please take me to a landscape where there's something else to look at that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's, and I love, for me, that's the ocean.
Mm-hmm. I got lucky that I have both. I can be soothed by the water or the mountains or the forests or the Portland, everyone.
We love it. Love it.
And Northern California is gorgeous.
And Southern California.
I mean,
I'm
it's
here
all
for the West Coast.
That's right. Thank you, Best Coast.
West Coast, Best Coast. You've got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
How was your? Well, you looked like you had a fun weekend. That I had a lot of
fun. Oh, I did have a fun weekend. I so Friday night, I had, first of all, had the craziest experience at work on Friday. It was a really insane day anyway, and Fridays are already long because I go to therapy. So it's I take a 2-hour lunch because it takes me a half hour to get there and back. So I get back into the office at 1:30, and there is like a fire drill happening where our DC office had finished a pitch that needed to be delivered to an office in Manhattan, in lower Manhattan, by 3 p.m. or it wouldn't be expected. And people have put like hours and hours, or it wouldn't be accepted, excuse me. I put so much work into this, and they were finalizing it, and they had to get a partner to literally physically sign off on one part of it that they were finishing. So I'm sitting on the other end, like trying to get it onto a thumb drive, but I don't have the documents yet. And then we're watching time tick down, and I'm like, guys, it's now like 2:20. And I'm like, there is literally no way that a messenger is going to get here and get this somewhere by 3 p.m. And I was like, I'm Googling it. It's about 25 minutes away, which means it's 35 minutes away. So like, I think if we need to get this here, I think our only hope is that I literally physically take it. And that's what ended up happening. It came through at like 2:35. I'm trying to get it onto this thumb drive. I'm on the phone with them because all of our thumb drives are mandated that they have to be encrypted with passwords. And it's the most like complicated. You need a special character, an uppercase, a number, like all these things. So I'm on the phone with them like, okay, add a 01 exclamation point at the end, like trying to. And then I literally raced downtown. I got it there 12 minutes late and ended up talking to the actual guy who was accepting them all, and he and like talked him into marking it down as 3, and then almost left without giving him the password, and then I like watched him take everything off of the thumb drive. So I was like, thank God it got there. And everyone, my bosses, were all like, epitome of team player, like you're such a rock star. And I was, it
yes,
was,
we love validation.
But then I had lost another hour of my day, and I had so much left to do at the office. And it turns out that the office where I delivered it was 3 blocks away from my therapist, where I'd been literally 2 hours earlier. So
that's how it always
I know
is.
So that was a crazy day, and I thought I was gonna have to stay late, but I didn't, which meant I left work at like 7. And I went to jujitsu at 8, and then I went home and showered, and then I went dancing with Ari and friend of the pod, Jesse. It was so
fun.
It was so fun.
You guys sent me that picture, and then I was like, normally I think I was very like sad.
I thought about it. I was like, she's with all of her best friends, so it'll work
but
out.
But I was also like, I had the perfect reply, which was me in my ski suit.
In your ski suit, yeah.
I looked like a psychopath. But
an amazing ski-oriented psychopath.
I sent it to Celie. That photo I sent you, and he just goes, Alex, in all caps.
Truly. Well, and then on Sunday, my friend Hannah is like grew up ice skating a little bit, but has gotten really into it and is taking, started taking lessons and like has her own skates. So we went ice skating with our friend Avi at Central, at Prospect Park, at the LaFrac Center, which I've lived here 2.5 years and wanted to do and haven't. And it was so fun. I mean, I think I'm going to go back. It's like a little expensive, but I'm going to go back maybe like every 2 weeks with her. It was an insane workout, but also normally it takes me like an hour to get comfortable on the rink because I do it like every 3 years and then I'm okay.
Yeah. And well, you probably have like more core strength and like body awareness because of jiu-jitsu.
Well, I mean, I've been a lot stronger than I am now at different points in my life when I have ice skated. But more importantly than that, like the mental part of it. Like I was just like, you guys leave me go. I'm going to just, I went around it once and then I just started like going for it and like figuring it out. And I got really confident by the end, but definitely jiu-jitsu is like affecting me and making me more like, let's go. And like, I can do this and more physically confident. It's cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you.
Me too. Thanks.
Yeah, of course. Hi, Bridget.
I was just going to say hi, Brooke. Hi, oh my God. Everybody.
Everyone. Welcome to Splat.
The podcast.
The podcast. Where me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about
Sex in the city.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
You guys, we are in the home stretch.
It's like kind of freaking me out. It's crazy.
It's insane. Like,
I've been guided by this for so long.
Like, who still listens to this podcast? Like, what do you want us to do after? I feel like there was a phase where like our friends were listening really consistently and would like send us texts. Like that they were
and
listening.
Then everyone had real lives that they had to get
so
back
like,
to.
So, like, if you're listening, like, please engage with us on, like, social media at Splat Podcast. Like, let us know what you want from us if you want anything. Because
if anything.
We would love to keep podcasting post Sex in the City.
But we got to figure it out, you know?
We got to figure it out. So just let us know what you want. I love Sex in the City.
I am loving it now for sure. It's like, you're right. These, I can see why you wanted to keep watching and why you like enjoyed these episodes in, last week when you watched them together so much. Because it's some good shit.
It's some good shit.
Should we dive in?
Let's just do it. So this episode is called Let There Be Light.
Season 3. Nope. Season 6, episode 13. Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Really quick. In the car on the way home from Mammoth today, we all went around and just... Because Hillary and I were doing something and she like wrote the number 5 and she like writes them upside down. I was like, that's so interesting that you write your numbers. And she was like, wait, I'm going to like write down numbers for you. I was like, okay. So we like went around and wrote how we wrote numbers. And then we did a, just that just made me think of that number thing. And then we all did a sing along to the entire Sound of Music soundtrack.
Oh, well, I mean, it doesn't shock me, but sounds
delightful.
It took
us until the last 3 hours of the trip to like do that.
It's a long ass movie and most of it's music.
Just the soundtrack that we didn't do the actual movie.
Well, right. But still, I mean, most of the movie is music.
There's some heavy book scenes. It's true. Anyway. Let there be light.
Let there be light.
And as we click play,
the
door
lock
opens.
Turns. A single gal spends most of her life searching for the
insane.
Perfect male.
She looks insane. She's wearing pink pants and a black shirt that doesn't make any sense and like pearls. Lots and lots of pearls. And she has it's bad. She has
anyway,
a letter.
This is a male pun. It's M-A-L-E, but she means, I mean, it's M-A-I-L, but she means M-A-L-E. And so she's gotten a letter in the mail from the artist Alexander, and he has asked her if she would like to join him for a walk.
With his phone number. And I'm like, how far long ago did he send this letter?
I know. I kind of love the idea of it, though, you know?
It's very sweet.
So they go for a walk in Central Park.
It looks like it is cold outside.
It does. It looks, it's, everyone's in coats. It's getting a little more intense.
She changed. She
Carrie
looks
changed.
Now.
She's still kind of a kooky
She's
outfit.
She's wearing a lot of sateen.
Mm-hmm. And he's wearing like a matchy sateeny necktie. It's very, it's sweet. Gosh, just the way he moves his body, he's like so comfortable in that, in that way that like someone who's a master ballerino would be, but it's just like fun to watch.
And he's eating chocolate and he has,
well, because he's just come back from Amsterdam and he brought her the chocolate as a gift.
He's so thoughtful.
I know, he's like, I have light and dark. And so And he asks her if she's ever been to Holland. And Carrie's like, with the little wooden shoes? No, 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 no. And I'm like, what's that reaction?
Light or dark.
But they're flirting heavily. And she like pulls a chocolate out of his pocket and bites off a teeny corner of it, which I'm like, girl, that chocolate is the size.
That is a bite. That's
that is
and
a bite.
Like, he like goes to town on her neck in a way that like if I saw this like
on a park bench,
I would be like.
Yeah.
I flip you off. Anyway, cut to Charlotte looking for musk.
They're in a perfumery, whatever you would call that, trying
this
scents.
Okay, Bridget, this is iconic. Carrie Bradshaw going, I'm taking a lover, mm-hmm. is iconic. This uh-huh, is like uh-huh. quintessential Sex in the City.
They make her say lover 45 times, and every time she has to say lover, she's like, no, no, not anything more than that. I'm just taking a lover. And... they all
and
remark
very
on.
Attractive.
Oh, this is the episode where Googled is used as a verb. It becomes a thing. It's like, you're like, oh, yes, Google is very pointedly a part of this episode because when she tells them she's seeing him, this lover of hers, Miranda's like, the old guy? And it turns out that Charlotte had Googled him to show Miranda a photo of him. And Carrie's kind of like, I mean, he's not that old, although he is in his 50s, so a little more than we thought last time.
And Samantha's like, that's a good age. They've been around the block. They know how to use their cock. I'm Samantha.
And Carrie says, oh, you rhyme now.
And Charlotte goes, I Googled him.
I wanted Miranda to see your potential new boyfriend. Not boyfriend.
Not boyfriend, Bridget. Lover. I take that. I like to say lover sometimes.
Do you say it like that? Sincerely, over and over? Lover.
Lover. Lover. Does it sound good on me?
Yeah, I think you should use that exclusively for any future beaus.
I think I should just make... my dating apps just say I would like exclusively a lover,
mm-hmm. or just make the entire bio just the word lover.
Lover.
See what flies you catch with that, honey.
Wait, can we pause really quick?
Yes,
I have two funny. I have a great still of them all sniffing.
Me too. Oh, I think we paused at exactly the same moment.
So two things. One of the activities that we did was. Exchanging phones and updating dating app profiles, and I was on Raya, and it literally
Garrett,
we had like a very cute moment where like Garrett and I were on one side of the couch doing this a crossword puzzle, and Hillary and Dylan were on the other side of the couch doing another crossword puzzle, and we were just like snuggled with our respective like pairs. It was like a great
that also sounds like a very an extremely you vacation all the way around.
What a dream. Mm-hmm. But Garrett and I were going through our own dating apps, and he had mine and I had his. And then all of a sudden he pops up on mine.
Oh, because you're sitting right next to each other.
And I'm in one of his pictures.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, it's so weird. Like going, like I clicked the thing and like the slideshow started and I was like, oh my God, it's me. I was like, imagine if that was like in the wild. And
just
like,
randomly. That's pretty
anyway,
good.
And then I matched with a guy who... asked me for my Snapchat.
Oh, it
and
is
we've been
happening.
Snapchatting. And I'm like, this is. I tried to take a screenshot of it, but Raya like freaks out when you take a screenshot.
Oh.
And it like alerts you, like, because they're famous people, I guess.
And they don't want.
But I was like, I don't care about this peasant. I just wanted to share the Snapchat.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, all sniffing.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte's trying something that's patchouli and pomegranate, which really sounds and she's like, no, you need something bright and fresh, and Miranda says, with just a hint of neuroses.
Just a hint of neuroses.
And then she says, I'm trying to figure out what Steve might like, and Samantha says,
just wear Old Spice and get it out of the way.
And Miranda's like, he doesn't like Old Spice. And Samantha says, Steve and Miranda sitting in a tree. And Carrie goes, first comes the baby. Oh, Fred the cat has come to visit Brooke. He just made his way directly across the computer screen. That was amazing. And Carrie says she's not going to pick up anything because she suspects the artist already likes how she smells. So Steve and Miranda sitting in an elevator. Going up.
They're so cute.
Steve says, how lucky are we? And then they kiss. Because Miranda says, very. It's not a great kiss. And then the doors open. And who do you think is going to get on?
Blair Underwood,
baby. I mean, of
baby.
Course. Because of at course. The end of the last episode, it had already been 3 weeks. So they've managed to avoid this for, what, a month at this point?
it's just like Blair Underwood becomes like sort of the epitome
Of all the nasty one
city guys.
One night stand or one episode stand guys who all turn nasty at the end.
And like in his defense, this is like shitty.
No question.
Sure.
Deeply shitty. But you don't have to turn around and be like vicious on the other side of it, you know?
Yeah, no.
But they have a terrible back and forth. And when he gets off, Blair says, y'all have a nice day. So Fred. The doctor said that Harry and I have to wait at least 2 months before we can even try to get pregnant again. Oh, my God. Mario Cantone is on fire this scene.
He is on fire. I'm sleeping and walking, sleeping and walking.
How am I doing that? And she says, that's rude. This is important to me. He says, I know it's important to you. You know it's important to you. The homeless guy on the corner of 57th and 7th knows it's important to you. Can we please talk about something else? If you say something bitchy about someone we know, I'll give you $100 right now. And Charlotte's like,
she's
no.
So funny. He just like doesn't want to talk about what she wants to talk about.
She's wearing a gorgeous coat, though. And then he makes her look out at the light, at the beautiful, at the friggin' light. And he's like, she thinks he's trying to get her something philosophy related. And he's like, no, Charlotte, that friggin' light in the park. Look over there. It's beautiful. And so she turns around and it is beautiful.
And it's a blind person walking down the street.
And so Charlotte, in very typical Charlotte fashion, sees a blind person and is like, can you think of anything worse than not being able to see the world? Oh my God, what am I going to do with my time? Maybe I should volunteer for the blind. Which is just
like
the most Charlotte train of thought of all time. He says, very Jackie O.
And like, okay, so Carrie's getting a vagina wax. And like, we know that she's done this before, but she's wearing her shoes.
Yeah, it's very odd. She like sticks her leg up for the camera. And I think just for the shot, they have her stiletto still on. And the woman's waxing her. And Carrie figures out that she's Russian. And so she asks her to teach a few words like, hello, and you're welcome. And so while she's getting the hair stripped out of her vagina, this very kind woman teaches her
Russian
how
woman.
To say Russian words.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so, so weird.
So Miranda has figured out that in order to avoid Robert, she has to take the stairs.
She has to take the stairs. And she is wearing a crazy, crazy, crazy
bad
outfit.
Pattern mixing.
Bad pattern mixing. And also, like, Blair Underwood had the same idea.
I know.
The stairs.
So they run into each other on the stairs. And she stops him, which is stupid, because why would you prolong this conversation?
He looks amazing, though. He's wearing, like, a caramel-colored velour.
Tracksuit and, like, a cute beanie. He looks real good. But she tries to tell him, which also I'm like, why would you stop him to just say the most cliche, dumb thing of all time? Like, I never meant to hurt you. Steve and I just fell back in love. And he was like, I was your little halftime show, but unfortunately... And then he becomes nasty. He's like, I hope you don't mind when I send you your bill. And he says, yeah, my bill for
my
services rendered.
Mm-hmm. It's so gross.
And she's like, Robert, come on. And he says, I got your scene. You're a busy working mother. You need dinner made, you call. Too tired to go out and eat, you call. You need your back, you know,
and
you need a
like
quick
not
buck,
true.
Call. No, it's not. He's really just like trying to hurt her. And it's succeeding. She feels shitty.
And
but,
he does this thing, and she goes, that wasn't what it was. He's like, no, it was slow. It was nice and slow, just the way you liked it. And starts like,
oh,
just like
Robert.
Coming. It's
ooh,
so.
And like miming sex. And then he tells her back to her face that she'd told him, no man has ever been this deep.
And he like looks insane while he does this.
He really does.
And it's also like, we have not gotten any of this. Like, there is no part of any interaction we had had with him prior to this that would have implied that he would have. It responded in this way.
Well, I mean, ostensibly, we don't know what happened during the breakup, and he didn't take it well because they didn't show it to us. But it's just, yeah. So she comes upstairs, and she's like, it was so bad, and he hugs her, and she's like, he says, so we can't take the elevator, and she's like, not between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. He's like,
we
have a baby.
Stroller.
He says, look, he's just upset. It'll blow over. And she says, I don't think so. And the man is crazy in love with me. And now he's acting out, talking about how
which
I said,
like,
no man's ever been that deep, which a huge jump, skip across the pond to make that he's crazy
Steve
in love
is
with
like,
you.
And my
B,
wounded male ego.
Why would you, although he still hugs her, but I'm like, girl, why would you tell the love of your life that you told someone else that no man had ever been that deep during sex? Like, yes, wounded male ego, but why would you say that to him? Just say he was imitating you during sex.
I would probably do that. I would probably overshare. Because I, like, want you, person that I love, to know every detail of the conversation.
I know, it's true. That's my impulse, too. But it's just, I can't blame for Steve for having a reaction to that.
No, of course not. So we cut to Carrie and her lover, and they get to his apartment, and he has the whole floor, one apartment for his studio, and one apartment is his apartment.
Also, almost all of the art in the actual apartment is Mikhail Baryshnikov's, because he, like, wanted it to look authentic. There were some interesting little tidbits in the side piece on this one. I'm going to bring them up as we go through because
they wanted him to look like his Mikhail Baryshnikov's apartment.
Well, he just wanted it to look and feel authentic, whatever that Russian. Meant to him. So he, I don't know, he gave them a lot of his own real art to use.
I love the backdrop. The green screen behind this window is beautiful.
Gorgeous. Look at that. Carrie, you know what? Whatever her fashion choice is, I think the thing that I cannot forgive is her insistence on wearing low-backed, beautiful, intricate things with her fucking bra hanging out.
This actually doesn't bother me as much as some other ones have. There's like, you can only
the
see
others
like the
are just worse, but why is she doing it? It looks bad. It takes away from the like beautiful back of the dress.
Yeah.
It feels like the equivalent of like a whale tail, which is sexy in theory, but doesn't feel like a Carrie thing, you know?
Sure. So they're very sexually
into
oriented.
Each other. Yes. But it's also like the chemistry is real. I mean, we just watch him like untie the back of her dress and pull it down, and it's
he loves
so
to kiss
hot.
Like the back of her. Uh-huh. And just like this is very weird. He like kisses like down her back.
I think it's kind of hot though. I mean, I just think it's like how real interactions often happen is they're not just like kiss, kiss, kiss. Lay down, bed, set, you know, like he's just like fair. Feeling her. And I think that's why the chemistry is there.
Yeah. And so she wakes up and
he also wrote this. Breakfast. There's a little note for her on the pillow with a face on it that says, I'm making breakfast. And apparently the props like tried to make it a bunch. And the director was like, yeah, we're going to use this one that he wrote. It's the best one.
And his whole like team is downstairs and it's.
Which Carrie is not expecting. She comes downstairs in his very risky business in his shirt. And then there is a team of Russian people on phones looking up at her.
I know that Sarah Jessica Parker is tiny. Mikhail Baryshnikov is also pretty small. I don't believe that that shirt would be as big on her as it is.
She is tiny. They're the same height. He has their shoulders are not as broad and he's thicker around the middle, you know, and also very well muscled. I buy it.
Okay.
But I like your theory that they have a separate shirt for Carrie that isn't actually his. Again, all of these are costumes, so it's possible he never wore it.
I mean, he probably didn't, yeah. But yes.
Although it does have wrinkles on the bottom the way that a shirt does when it's been tucked into pants for a while. So I don't know. Maybe they went for authenticity here. Mikhail Baryshnikov loves authenticity, everyone. So he's making pancakes and he's like, oh yeah, that's my team. I would be out on the street with a sign saying, let me make you art if I didn't have them. And then he dusts powdered sugar over her pancakes and it's so cute.
It's so extra.
It really is, but it's cute.
And so he like has to go to Amsterdam and she's just like, I'm going to sit here. And he has so many spoons.
So many spoons. There's there's a silent caption at one point that just says, not to any particular person, speaking many foreign languages, which I'm like, is that what's happening?
And like, he does that thing where like, he's being talked to about serious business and he like looks over and winks at her mm-hmm. and is like, oh, roll my eyes at this thing.
It's
blah,
cute.
Blah.
It's real cute.
And then we get a, you know, tense Samantha Carrie moment.
What? Is Carrie she's wearing a lace doily with two buttons on it at her collarbone. No, at her cleavage. And then open below that under a hoodie. It's the weirdest.
Peplum sweater.
Yes.
Samantha, on the other hand, looks fucking bomb.
Yeah.
She's
Samantha
wearing,
this
like,
whole
tight
episode.
Black dress and like a yellow leather jacket. And she's amazing.
A motorcycle jacket. And I really like the hair, the straight bangs she's been rocking the last few episodes.
Yeah.
And basically, Carrie is telling her about it and how she's like, I don't know. I think I might like him too much for this to just be love of Bill, which she's been calling it. And Samantha's like, listen, I would give anything for that. An older man who knows what he wants and fucks like he knows what he wants. And Smith Jared gives me none of that. He's just a little baby in a sandbox.
Sometimes. I don't know whether I need to blow him or burp him. And it's like, shut up, Samantha.
Which also isn't true. Like, I understand the maturity difference and level too. But like, he's not a baby. He's no Steve insisting his mommy come out to watch him on the basketball court.
And Carrie's like, how many girls do you think he's made pancakes for? And Samantha's like, who the fuck cares?
She says, does it matter? And Carrie's like, unfortunately, I think it might in the cold light of day.
And so now she Googles him. Cut to Google.com.
Which I love that this happens because it confirms a lot of our everything about the earlier episodes that like in the ways that technology would have changed this. Because once the tools are available, Carrie's like using them,
oh my
you know?
God. Can you imagine the Instagram of it all? It's just insane.
I know.
The Snapchat
so she
of it
finds,
all.
She finds a bunch of articles about his art and one article about all the different women he's been with.
According to scientists, whenever a woman has sex, her body produces a chemical amount of like attachment.
Basically, like there's science behind. There are some people who say that there's science behind women having sex and forming attachments because of it. Emotional
questions.
Attachments.
And like irrational questions. Does he like me?
Will he call again?
Will he call? Where is this all going? When it comes to men, even when we try to keep it light,
how do we end
up
in the dark?
In the dark. Light or dark, just like the chocolate from earlier.
It is an interesting thing. Like we can go into a situation with intentions one way or the other to be serious or not to be. And things don't necessarily work out that way.
No.
Also, Samantha is wearing like a lacy.
Do you have more thoughts about the?
Okay, yeah, let's pause her. Sure.
Okay. Well, I just think like it's the age old question: can a woman have sex like a man? It's just another way of phrasing this, like in the sense that like when a woman has sex, like yes, there are biological chemicals that like attach them to the person that they've just had sex with.
She is at least careful to say some scientists and these chemicals like may form attachments, which I'm glad for because I was like,
yeah.
This is
I think there's also something to be said for like how much time she's spending with him. But like, yes, it like
I also would say just for the purposes of saying it that like once again, this is Carrie just narrowing everything down to a woman in relation to a romantic relationship with a man.
Yes.
Specifically where like yes. I think it's interesting to talk about more broadly. But then again, like she's forcing it to be about gender and women specifically, you know, where I think it's like an interesting question of how people react differently to sex and where emotion comes in and why. Like there are some people who I know who can have casual sex in a much different way than other people.
Totally. Okay, great. So cut to Samantha and Smith.
Samantha's wearing like a sort of like I don't even know what. It's like lacy and see-through, but it's not quite lingerie, but it's buttoned just to over one boob and then hanging open. And I'm like, this is fascinating, the choices they're making. So Smith has been invited to a 30 under 30 party, and it would make Samantha feel bad, except it's being hosted by
Richard Wright.
So she's like, oh, he's a big guy in the hotel business and would be good for you to know. You should go to this and I'll come with you. And he's like, cool, and like bounds off the bed. And she like slow blinks like, the God, this child.
And Carrie's like, this is the exact amount of like crazy and exciting Samantha was missing. And it's like, Samantha, you are a psychopath.
You're literally an idiot if you think that this is going to fix your problems. Ugh, unfortunately. So Charlotte is pursuing this via volunteer guide for the blind, and she goes in
and
to talk to this.
She looks like Annie Hall.
It's bizarre. I don't know what is happening in the costume department, but I think they've kind of lost the plot at this point. But the woman who she talks to tells her that it's a good idea if she wants to volunteer to go somewhere crowded like a department store and put on a blindfold and have a friend lead her around.
Which is like so weird.
So that she can like experience what it's actually like to not be able to see when you're in a place like that. Which, okay, you know, force some empathy on people who are sighted people who can see.
Right.
Which makes sense. But the way that they go about this, I imagine, is not quite how this exercises. Also, Charlotte brings a Burberry sleep mask as her blindfold, which Burberry did not make. sleep masks or blindfolds. And Sex and the City reached out to see if they did, and they replied, "We do now." That was another fun fact. Wow. I know.
That's amazing.
I know. So Carrie, on the way down the escalators in wherever they are, like Barney's or somewhere, is like, tells Charlotte that she Googled him. And they keep all of the quotations have Googled in quotation marks, which are all of the caps, the dubs. So Carrie says she's kind of freaking out about it. And she's like, "Listen to me. I've only slept with him once and I'm already like this. Like, okay. Let's do your thing and I'll stop talking about this Russian artist."
And so then he calls and she's like, oh, I'm going to go talk to him because he's in Amsterdam, and leaves Charlotte blindfolded.
And instead of just taking the blindfold off, because the setup to this is Charlotte's like, okay, once I put it on, I cannot take it off. And even though she literally slips it on and then Carrie gets a call, instead of being like, I'll wait for you, she just stands in the dead middle with her blindfold on while Carrie walks away.
And now this outfit, Carrie's wearing like a bodice, a purple bodice with a bright neon pink bra under, just like fully showing.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
So Charlotte happens to be standing near that bank of elevators, and the doors open all at once and a bunch of people get off, and she gets like buffeted around in a like mosh pit of people and drifts away from Carrie, who is completely distracted by her call from Alexander, who's overseas. The line is bad, but basically he's like, I'll be home tomorrow, can I see you then, 9 p.m. And so they agree on it. Carrie turns around, shuts the phone. Guess who is not there?
Charlotte, who has now found her way somehow into the shoe department.
And Charlotte, this is kind of a silly, like, she gets sprayed by perfume that she doesn't like, and then she gets bumped by a guy who asks if she needs help, which I would also, if I was working in a place and saw someone walking around with a blindfold on for a lot of reasons. And she walks around, and then she's like, keeps bumping into people. Amazing she doesn't cause more of a mess. And then she gets frustrated finally and is like, there in the dark. Charlotte realized she had no idea where she was going, in Barney's or in life. And she pulls the blindfold off and there's a shoe sale. And she's like, oh, this is the light. This is what I was looking for. And then she looks up and...
and it's Carrie. And Carrie's like, I swear to God, I looked.
Because Carrie is sitting down, trying a pair of shoes on with a salesperson and a stack in her arm. And she's like, I'm meeting the artist tomorrow. What do you think?
So then we get this, like, also like the way that they're depicting 20 somethings in this
is hilarious.
The Von Dutch of it all. And so they go to the top of the front line.
It's Samantha and Smith Jarrett are at this party. They go up front.
The guy working the booth is like, oh my God, Smith Jarrett, you're amazing. I love your work. Love your hair. Blah, blah, blah.
And then he lets him through, but puts the rope back down in front of Samantha.
And he's like, and you are? And she's like, you pans to Richard going,
Samantha Jones. And aren't like, you a sight for sore eyes? And he lets her through. Richard, and then he puts the rope down in front of Smith. And Samantha's like, he's with me. And so he lets him in.
This is infuriating.
It's so stupid and bad. And we shouldn't have had to put Smith through this to get through to her. Also, Smith, honestly, boy, you can do better. So Samantha and Richard are just chatting it up at the bar.
Doing that like, you look good. No, you look good.
And he keeps talking very disparagingly about the young people. And he's like, yeah, I'm hosting this thing, but like all these stupid young people are so stupid and I'm licking their taints. And then Smith comes over and wraps his arms around Samantha, and Robert's like, can I get you a scotch? And he's like, oh, no, thanks. I'm having a beer or whatever. And Richard looks at Samantha like, young and stupid. And a bunch of girls pop over and they're like, someone's snorting pretzels out of her nose, Smith, come see. And he runs away like a little golden retriever puppy.
It's so stupid. And then we have some Miranda and Steve, and they come out and they're like, oh, finally, one last load. And
Because Steve is moving in to the building.
Which is what you asked.
Right?
Last week, you were like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. So they've moved everything into the lobby and they're just taking elevator trips, and they come back down, which also, that's more than one last load. That's a shitload of stuff on the floor still. And the screen of the TV that they left on the floor has been smashed.
And Steve is like convinced that it's Robert. So he's like, I'm going to, and Miranda's like, she's like, I'm going to go talk to him.
He's not sure. He's like, someone else could do it. And Miranda's like, you didn't see him. He was crazy in love with me. And I think you should go talk to him. And Steve's like, I'm going to take care of things. And Miranda says, be kind. He's still in love with me. So she watches the elevator tick upstairs. Steve goes and knocks on the door.
And he's, of course, Robert's like in a robe and there's a woman there. And Steve is like,
Steve's like, I need to talk to you about the Miranda thing. And Robert's like, what about it? And then a girl in nothing appears behind him. And he says, I'll be right back, baby. And Steve is like, blink, 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 frown. And then there's another woman passes behind the door. Turns out Petrovsky wasn't the only one with an open international open house. Steve goes, we're sorry. She's sorry. I'm sorry. We're sorry. And Robert says, I appreciate that, and closes the door.
And then Steve comes down like kind of smirky, and Miranda's like, how did it go? Was he okay?
She's like, she's standing in the exact same place she was when he left.
And he's kind of like,
he says, let's just put it this way. He won't be bothering us again, as if he did some like big man thing. Was he very upset? And Steve nods. And Miranda's like, oh. And then she kisses him. When it came to Robert, Steve thought it was kinder to leave Miranda in the dark.
Light and dark.
Knock, knock, knock. Carrie wearing a crazy ass outfit. I think she's wearing his shirt back under a sweater with a beret. He opens the door and slides a pair of wooden shoes from Amsterdam out. Clogs, and then turns his hand around and wiggles his finger at her, and then he opens the door and kisses her. I think it's cute. He has more personality than like anyone on this show.
Yeah. And then we get to the 30 under 30, and Samantha's going into an elevator with Richard.
Smith comes up and he says, hey, where are you going, babe? Richard wanted to show me.
I'm
going to
go look at one of the remodeled suites, and it's like very uncomfortable.
He says, cool, can I come? Like, not over, but like clearly, you know, not overdoing it, but like clearly asking a pointed question. And Samantha, the idiot, is like, no, you can't. Look, it's been fun, but you go play with your friends. I'm going to play with mine. And Smith is kind of like, okay. He just kind of watches, and Robert pulls her onto the elevator, and Smith says, Samantha.
It's Richard, not Robert.
Oh, sorry. Richard does.
And then we cut to this like really sad moment of him like fucking her from behind
in the bathroom,
and how he's like, I was on top of the world, and now
I'm on the edge of the couch.
No, it's in the bathroom, I think.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Either way, they're staring into a mirror, I think.
That's what I thought, but I'm pretty sure they're not. It's just the way it's shot. They're in a doorway, I think, in the living room. She's holding the edge of the couch, and her face is just like nothing. And he's monologuing to her about how far he's fallen, how shitty things are. It's like the least sexy thing of all time. And then Samantha is crying in the way back
and
down.
And like very BoJack Horseman style, yes. Like cut to her same face going down the elevator. And Smith is waiting downstairs, and he's like, I just wanted to make sure you got home safe. And she like breaks down, and it's very
sad. She says, I don't know what's wrong with me. I hate myself for doing this to you. And he gets out of the chair and just picks her up, and she just like breaks down. And he holds her really tight and tells her it's okay. It's okay.
And Carrie goes, even in the dark, Smith could still see Samantha.
And for the first time,
she saw him.
Yeah, she saw him for what he was.
It's very sweet.
He says, let's get you out of here. It's really sweet. I wish she didn't have to go upstairs and have like a really shitty fuck to get to this moment. But I am glad that they let her have it, and that Smith is like a cool, cool, cool fucking boy.
Yeah.
28-year-old.
He's the best.
So Carrie wakes up. And Mikhail Baryshnikov is there with her this time, and he's really sweet to her.
This is sleepy time. They just had sex, I think.
Oh, I thought he was going down to work.
He's going to his studio across the hall, but yeah. I think it's like post the same night.
Okay. So she realizes that she's not really comfortable living in Lovaville. She gets dressed. She goes to find him in his studio across the hall. And she basically is like, oh, also, she's in bed, hair curly, gets up. Leaves the apartment, hair straight. Just wanted to point that out.
Very odd. And he's like using some welding tools.
He's doing something. It's hard to tell what. There's a bunch of lights. Like it looks like a Broadway back, like the Chicago backdrop on Broadway, mm-hmm. of all the lights. And he's welding, doing something
he's
very intense.
Glasses.
I know. So Carrie comes and interrupts him, and she's basically like, I'm not really comfortable with this. Like, they're not comfortable, but she's like, I'm not this kind of girl. There are pancakes and other ladies. And he says, there are pancakes, but there aren't other ladies.
He's very charming.
He's so charming. Because he tells her he doesn't understand at first, and she tries her best to, and he gets it. It's really about other women. Mm-hmm. He says, there is only you, I think. Does he? No, not quite that intense. What is it?
Well, he says, no other ladies. Have a book with a few emergency telephone numbers. Oh, yeah,
because she kind of raises her eyebrows at him.
But now I just see you.
Yeah, but now I just see you. And she says, why? And he, right before he's about to kiss her, he says, this is not about a quick bang. This. The longest pause. I think that
then he goes,
the thing's kind of.
I like you.
And Carrie is, she says, why me? And he looks at her and says.
With another long pauses. Lots of pauses.
And that, but it's full of stuff because he's such a good actor. He goes, why me? And Carrie bites her lip and smiles and takes a deep breath. And then she says, you make a good breakfast? And he smiles. It's really sweet. It's so cute.
It makes me like long for this.
I know, me too. And then
she asks, read art. What is all this? And he goes, it's too soon to tell.
And it zooms in on them and then fades into the lights. Into the light.
The continuity goof is in the Amazon too.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Funny. Oh, amazing.
And that's the episode.
It's a pretty big one in a lot of ways, as they all are now at this
just
moment.
Just wait. Now they're all, it's like so much shit happens. It all happens so fast.
I just had to physically restrain myself from responding immediately with the just you wait line from Hamilton. It's amazing how quickly that's still provoked in me. Whew.
Wow.
Let there be light, baby. I think it's a good episode, Carrie's question notwithstanding, because I don't think the dark and the light has anything to do with like women's relationship to men to be interesting. No. It's about like, I don't know, finding our way through relationships and meaning and like what builds a life. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently. Mm-hmm. Anyway, plop.
Well, who did you resonate with?
Resonating, of course. I just have it permanently backwards now. I resonated with I don't know that. I mean, I resonated with Carrie, definitely.
Yeah, always.
She's in a
not
very.
Always for you, always for me.
Yeah, she's in a very relatable place in just that, like, all those, the feelings she's working through in this one, but also like having, experiencing something unfolding and realizing your feelings are different than you thought. I don't know that the rest of them are too explicitly on the nose for me. I mean, I know Samantha, like, breaking down is the closest I felt to Samantha in a long time, but not for the same reasons. You know, I haven't had that quite in the same way, but I don't know. This is the first episode I didn't super relate to Miranda.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, because Miranda just, like, she doesn't seem like so. He's so in love with me. Like,
it's
like a little like romantic for Miranda.
Well, it's funny because she has this like terrible interaction with him in the stairwell. In her mind, like, the only reason he'd be so cruel to her is because he's still in love with her and lashing out, as she says. But it's just so funny how quickly she jumps there and how sure she is of it.
It's so silly. I think I resonated also with Samantha, just in terms of like the self-sabotage of it all.
Yes, the self-sabotage of it all.
I don't know if mine would happen in like the same way.
I agree. Not that I would be deliberately hurting another person in that way, I don't think, because that's just, yeah, no. But the feel of it and the sense of it and the outcome of it, for sure.
Yeah. Now, poppability.
Ah, what? You mean that comes after? Okay, I think this is extremely probable, pretty much in all ways. Probable.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Charlotte, though, because Charlotte's, I don't know if we said this explicitly, but part of the reason she's looking for something to do is because she can't go back to work, really, because she wants to get pregnant, but she has to wait 2 months to get pregnant, so it's a weird amount of time that she's trying to fill. And I think all of the conversation around Charlotte and pregnancy and marriage would just be slightly different.
Yeah. My other question is, how many Darren stars do you give this episode?
I think I'm also going to give it a solid. You know what? I don't know. I'm scared of the 10 because I don't know. What if I don't even know?
I'm going to give it an 8 because I think we didn't get enough Charlotte and Miranda was a little off to me. Like, it's funny and it was funny, but it was like, for me, Miranda's not the funny one.
That's true, but I kind of don't mind when they give her a funny moment.
I know, but I think
they did it because it was like, well, now Samantha's serious, so we have to balance it with one of the others.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this one a 9, I think.
Great.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot. Just you wait. Next week's a huge one.
I don't want to even read the summary right now because I've already watched accidentally.
No, don't. Well, let me see if it'll give it away.
No, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to know. It'll be a good surprise.
No, I know, but I want to know because I started to watch it and was like, oh no, this is a huge episode. I should stop rewatching
it.
It sort of gives it away. So we just finished 13. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes left.
And then 2 movies, which will probably either be ginormous episodes or broken.
We'll probably record them all at once and
maybe
then, like,
release half and half.
In 2 parts. Yeah.
We're going to have a cross-country movie day.
I know. It's so funny. It's insane. 7 weeks.
7 weeks. It's really crazy. Also, I figured out today that I'm pretty sure Brooke and I will be able to record the finale episode while I'm visiting her in LA for my birthday.
Delties, upsies, downsies? That's it, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
For all of the business.
Business?
Delta ups and downs. Why don't you start?
My Delta up was skiing. This whole weekend was just like truly lovely. It was a really fun time. And I really think, like, since I've gotten my crow tattoo, I'm like, my whole like mantra has just been like not overthinking things that scare me and just sort of doing them and like going after things that scare me. And I feel like skiing is one of those things. Mm. But also just like I feel really good about LA and I feel good about – it felt weird, especially because Dylan's, like, visiting from New York.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, we're going to – you know, I'll fly back to New York on Thursday. Like, I definitely, and my Delta down is that I still am just, like, getting really homesick. Not really homesick, but I like, really miss my life in New York. And not to say that I'm not, like, super enjoying my life in LA, and I am. And, like, I was talking to Hill about this in the car today, like – moving to a new city is really hard, and I'm really lucky that I, like, have such a beautiful, like, cushion to land on with some of these people.
Still hard, though.
I'm, like, trying to be better about, like, acknowledging that it's allowing it to be
hard.
Yeah,
totally. Totally.
So, you know, that's what I'm doing, and I'm excited. Oh, I'm starting a new round of.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about it earlier.
I'm doing another round of yoga teacher training just to learn a new sequence and deepen my knowledge and meet new people, and I'm excited about it, and it starts tonight, and I'm going in like an hour.
I'm so excited to hear how it goes.
And excited.
Yeah. Also, just what a world opener, though. Think about the huge group of people you're about to be introduced to.
That's sort of why I've decided to, like, I think it's gonna be good for me to do it.
Yeah, especially because you know how well it went last time around, you know, like, you made good
friends.
I
feel like I'm nervous that I'm like, I had such a good experience that nothing will ever be as good.
It's a bar to strive for.
What about you, my sweet Bridget?
Let's see here. My Delta down is that I had to work yesterday, even though it was a holiday. But it really wasn't that bad.
I know. I, like, FaceTimed Bridget, and I was like, it's a holiday. And she was like, you were like, is
everything
okay? I texted
you and was like, because I'd forgotten. I kept forgetting because it was just like a Monday at work for me. Brooke called me in the middle of the day, and So I texted her, like, cut the call off with a text where I was like, I can't pick up right now. Is everything okay? And then I was like, oh, duh. And also that, like, this is a flip side of a good thing, which is that I'm, like, really can feel my responsibilities and, like, momentum increasing at work, which is great. But the flip side of that is that it's, like, also scary and just stressful in ways that I just, like, need to, you know, re-up my coping mechanisms and, you know, think about, like, how I handle that because I can and I know I can. It's just like it's been so good for so long and I'm starting to hit the point where I'm like really stretching myself, which is the point, but yeah. Intense. And then my Delta ups this weekend was really fun. Ari was so funny and drunk. He was like fun drunk. Not that he was ever not fun drunk, but then as we were about to leave, he just was hammered suddenly, and it was so, the adventure of getting home with him was so funny. When we got back,
I've ever seen that drunk.
It's been a Ari. Really long time since I've been with that drunk Ari. But when we got home, I like filled up two giant water glasses and made us like bang them on the table and then chug them and then did it again. And he'd had a drink spilled on him earlier and he was just sprawled on the couch talking to me. And I was like, you need to get in the shower for at least 60 seconds. And he's like, I don't really think I should do that. And I was like, buddy, you had a drink spilled. I literally pushed him in. And in the morning, he had no recollection of it. But he was like, oh, thank God you made me do that. The stuff he remembered from the night, too, was very funny. Anyway, I love him very much. And it was a fun weekend. And one of the teachers pulled me aside yesterday at jiu-jitsu to say he had a book that he wanted me to read if I was interested, because he wanted to start talking to me about the advanced program. So I know, which I'm definitely like not ready for yet, but it's really exciting.
Oh my God, black belt by Christmas.
Yeah.
Hashtag black belt by Christmas.
Please, it's like a 15-year journey minimum, but.
Hashtag black belt by Christmas.
I did get my first red stripe though, so I'm excited about everything. I think I said
that. My baby is so good.
One of the teachers did say to me as I was leaving the other night too, I asked her about something and as I was calling, she said, you're an exemplary student. And I was like, thanks. I know. So it was something you were talking about earlier. I was like, yes, I know. I feel the same.
Like at the end of
praise
ski
school, me.
At the end of ski school, she was like, you need to do this and you need to do this. You need to do this. She turns to me and she goes, you're a speed demon. And
like, it's the best thing. I think we're both like the amount we need to be that have that impulse fed is like equivalent hungers for us.
Bridget.
Yes. Brooke.
If I wanted to find you on social media, where would I, could I, with a mouse?
Yeah, only a computer mouse. also your thumbs on your smartphone. Please go to www.twitter.com. Go to the search. Type the at symbol followed by Mrs. Burt Macklin, and you will find a delectable selection of my tweets for your viewing pleasure. On Instagram, a slightly less delectable and robust collection of my photos found at BridgetM37. Brooke Thee?
You could travel over the rainbow, also to Twitter.com, and find me at Brooke Wiseman, Brooke_Wiseman. My name is Brooke Wiseman. Mm-hmm. There is an underscore between my first and my last name.
Oh.
And then if you travel down the yellow brick road and click your heels three times and go, there's no place like Instagram, you can find me at Brooke Wiseman, no underscore. And if you put the underscore for Instagram, I'll drop a house on you.
Oh, perfect. And I will knit you a pair of socks to wear when the house is dropped on you that go up to your knees.
You can find us collectively at Splat Podcast on Gmail and Twitter and Instagram.
Gmail being the most important of all.
DM us, email us, let us know what you like, what you don't like.
Talk to us.
What you want to know. Can we show you?
Send us Sex and the City memes. We love it when you do that. It's the best thing. Guns for guns.
I almost just hung up on Bridget's. Like, and goodbye.
And goodbye.
No.
Right. I think we're going to go. So with that. We bid you adieu.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.